What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Good evening, everyone. Along with Warner Wolf, I'm Stu Mahan, and we welcome you to a most unusual event.
I see three of them out there.
Get the one in the middle.
You put that heavy bag with eyeballs in the ring with me, and you're going to see the meaning of pain.
Well, firstly, I think the first thing you'd better get a bottle is a ladder.
It's suicide! You've seen him, you know how strong he is. You can't win!
Well, you know, some folks got to learn the hard way.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm the unsilent majority, Big Mouth.
Well, I've been with the best, and I beat the best. I've retired more men than Social Security.
I hope they got my comics here.
Stallion, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about now, but you will when it's over. Believe me, you will when it's over.
And welcome to Who Will Save Generation X, the trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, the host of the show, and I'm very excited to be back with our third format of the show that we've added to the program. It's a shorter version of the podcast that we can release in between regular episodes of the show and the home games, where it's just the listeners versus the podcast to see how many points you can get. No prizes or ranks, just a quick mini game to satisfy that nostalgic itch for the pop culture of Generation X. Here's how the game works. We will have three fast-paced rounds of games to play and score points. In round three, we have a special guest host take over the show and quiz me for five questions. If you can get more correct than I can, then you're invited to use our website answering machine system and mock me endlessly.
Jive-ass dude don't got no brains in here.
Or better yet, use that answering machine to call in and take over as host for a moment and ask me five trivia questions that we can use on an upcoming episode. Just go to our website and click on that blue microphone icon and leave us some trivia questions. It's 100% free to use, and they can be accessed by any device that has an internet connection and a microphone. We would love to hear your voice on the show. But for now, let's get right into the game that we call Who Will Save Generation X? Challenging Stage.
Round one.
Round one today is a game called Gen X Voice. In this game, we are going to listen to four clips of famous voices of the generation timeline, and you need to tell me whose voice it belongs to. So we're looking for the name of the person speaking in each of these clips. Each correct answer is worth 2 points if you don't need a hint, but you'll only score 1 point if you need the hint. The answers will get more difficult to come by as we play. Good luck. Here's clip one. Please tell me the name of the person speaking here.
Well, I've been working in Los Angeles for about 6 years professionally. With a comedy group originally called The Groundlings. It's kind of like Second City up here. It just evolved that I started working with a lot of toys and a lot of props, and then I did a show that involved a lot of toys and props with other characters, so it was kind of a kiddie show, more aimed at adults, but really a straight-out kiddie show. And then from there, I was offered a deal to write a movie and starred in it.
This one is pretty easy, but if you need the hint to get it correct, you'll only score 1 point. Here's your hint. This actor had a big adventure looking for his bike in the basement of the Alamo. Got it? Score yourself 2 points if you came up with Pee Wee Herman or Paul Rubens without the hint. I'm sure most of you did and would recognize his voice quite easily. If you have access to HBO Max, there is an outstanding documentary about Paul Rubens that came out somewhat recently. It's called Pee Wee as Himself, and it is a fascinating look at his life. He sadly died of cancer before it was completed, and in the interviews with him, it takes on a new weight knowing that he was aware of his condition while speaking. I think even someone who's just a casual fan of Pee Wee Herman will find a new appreciation for him and will think differently of his career from now on. I know I will. It's highly recommended. Please check it out.
I wish you'd keep a diary and make a movie of Pee-wee Goes to Japan. I should think that would be fun.
Yeah, be difficult to film though, because, you know, the wires and stuff involved, because everyone's upside down there, right?
You really are crazy. You're such a delight.
I know you are, but what am I?
Here's the next Gen X voice for you to identify. What is the name of the excited young man speaking here?
No, it's not I'm better than you. What it is it's a struggle record. You know, mama could have told you to not. It can even be a person who wants a promotion. It could be the Giants this season. It could be, you know, you as an anchor woman. It could be whatever anybody with ambition. The record represents ambition, and that's what the video is all about. You know, it could even be about a guy 55 years old who's an IBM worker or a worker somewhere, and the young guys come in and, they think he's like, oh, no. And then he starts working even harder. You know, it could be anything, whatever you want it to be, you know.
2 points if you came up with his name right now. But if you need a hint, here it is for 1 point. The Gen X voice here is a musical artist. And in this clip, he makes a... it's not a direct reference. It's a... Allusion. That's the word. He makes an allusion to the name of one of his most well-known songs in the start of this clip. That Gen X voice is none other than Hall of Famer LL Cool J himself being interviewed about his song, Mama Said Knock You Out.
The record represents ambition, and that's what the video was all about. Mama Said Knock You Out.
Clearly, the song is about ambition, but it has been used as an anthem for anyone who considers themselves an underdog or if others considered you washed up. It samples multiple songs, including James Brown's Funky Drummer and Sly and the Family Stone's Trip to Your Heart, among others. R.I.P. Sly Stone, who recently passed away as well. If you're starting to get sad about me talking about all these people who have passed away recently, well, then it's time to switch gears a little with our next Gen X voice, who did not die recently. 2 points if you can name the speaker here.
Remember, you pushed me around in the ring last time I was down in Memphis, Tennessee? Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Lawler. I am not a hick. I am not from Memphis, Tennessee. I don't come from Tennessee like you do, okay? I come from Hollywood, California, where I make movies and TV shows. I am a national television star, and I want the respect that I deserve when I come down to Memphis. And I don't like any hick like you pushing me around in the ring. I never agreed to wrestle you. I was wrestling someone else. You stuck your nose in. You came in the ring. You pushed me around, and now you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sue you for every cent that you've got, every cent that you're worth. You will be in debt to me for the rest of your life. You'll never eat again when I'm through with you. You'll wish you never heard the name.
For your 1 point hint, I'll refer to what I just said. He didn't die recently. He died on May 16th, 1984, at only 35 years old. However, there were many at the time that thought the announcement of his death was just a hoax or a piece of performance art from him. What is the name of this famous funny man? You got your answer locked in? Here's the answer.
You'll wish you never heard the name Andy Kaufman. Do you hear me? Do you believe me?
Yes, one of the most bizarre but hilarious comedians ever, Andy Kaufman is the correct answer. Although he didn't consider himself a comedian, he called himself a song and dance man, not a stand-up, because he wasn't trying to tell jokes, he was trying to confuse reality and his audience. And to a large degree, he succeeded. As you can tell from this clip, he was obsessed with wrestling, and he staged a feud with wrestler Jerry the King Lawler, even staging an injury live on Late Night with David Letterman. It was all performance art, but people thought it was real. He was a master at trolling before trolling was even a thing. It was well known that he was fascinated by faking his death. Friends say Andy often talked about disappearing as the ultimate prank. He even researched how to vanish and come back 20 years later. To this day, many believe that he's still out there. And if so, I like to think that he might be listening to this podcast. If so, hi, Andy. Here's our last clip. It has a couple of voices in it, but we're just looking for the name of the man speaking here.
Well, guess who's here? Zsa Zsa, what's new?
I slapped a 6'4" gorgeous cop.
I also believe that there are some cops out there who probably shouldn't have passed the test. There are police officers who rough up people in the cruiser. That's and outside not... the cruiser. The vast majority of police officers want you not to judge them on the behavior of
they
a certain
are, they
few.
Are right.
One other thing. Here's the point. We're asking cops to fight the drug war.
I know.
It's not fair what
it's
we're
tough.
Asking cops
it's
to
tough.
Do. The seat belts, the drinking, how much you're going to breathe, whether you walk down a line, speeding, stop signs, burglaries, family trouble. These guys are getting shot covering man and wife stuff. So in this environment, we not surprisingly want to believe that this officer behaved according to the book. And when you come along and say he roughed me up, he used profane language, a lot of conscientious Americans will be out there thinking, well, it's possible. But what works against it is what we perceive.
The establishment.
You know, your persona. Your persona. You know, you're accusing
what
them of wanting
persona?
To go to bed with you. You talk
no,
about lesbians in prison. You said that it's like Nazi Germany. And
no,
a lot of
I
Americans are standing up and saying, shut up, Zsa. Do you know what I mean? That's the point here. I'm not saying
I know that was a long clip. But of this nearly 45-minute interview with Zsa Zsa Gabor, this is almost the entirety of what he could squeeze in to say to her on his own show. She would not stop talking for anyone or any reason. So count that as your one-point hint to help you in remembering the name of this white-haired talk show pioneer. Got it? This is a clip from the Phil Donahue Show, and you might be thinking, that means the speaker must be Phil Donahue. And if you are thinking that, then you're right. This is from an episode where it features Zsa Zsa Gabor telling her side of the story when she was confronted by a police officer that she famously slapped. You can watch the whole episode on YouTube, like I did, and you can be the judge of what you think of her performance on the show. I know the clip kind of makes it sound like Phil was talking down to her or was being a bad host, but if you remember Phil Donahue's show, you remember that that was not Phil's style. Dude invented the modern day talk show. And although he didn't shy away from controversy or conflict, he was always a professional and didn't go for the sleazy tactics that would become the norm in the 90s on tabloid talk shows or trash TV as it became known. Phil was not without controversy for the content of his day, but shows like The Richard Bay Show, Geraldo, and the king of trash TV, Jerry Springer, would take the more wholesome format Phil created and turn it into a monster. In my opinion, Zsa Zsa was out of line in this episode, and if she did that on The Jerry Springer Show, things would have gone down quite differently. However, Phil always kept it classy.
With a gun in my face, he nearly killed me. To use such horrible language. You can't use a lady like me, you effing H.
Effing W, yes.
No, yeah.
It's not important.
You spell it,
H is fine.
You spell it with W.
H is fine. Don't worry.
Round two of this episode is our Spotlight Trivia Round. We will dive into one Gen X topic to quiz you on. Each complete correct answer is worth 2 points if you know the answer outright, but if you need a hint or multiple choice, then it's worth only 1 point. I'll ask the questions and then circle back around with the answers at the end of the round. Good luck! The Spotlight topic for this episode demands that we cue up the synth music, prep for slow motion punching faces, and turn on the subtitles, because we're about to enter the coldest Cold War showdown in cinematic history, Rocky IV. It's 1985. Reagan is in office. The Soviets are the big bad guys. And Sylvester Stallone? Well, he's America's most muscular foreign policy strategy. This is not just another boxing movie. It's a glorious, sweaty, flag-waving, robot-having training montage of justice. In one corner, Rocky Balboa, Philadelphia's favorite underdog and full-time inspirational quote generator. In the other, Ivan Drago, the 6'6" emotionless Siberian science experiment sent to punch democracy right in the face. And if you're wondering, yes, this is the one where a robot with romantic subroutines bring Polly birthday cake and beer, Apollo Creed dances with stars and stripes shorts with James Brown, and Rocky trains in the frozen tundra by lifting logs, outrunning cars, and growling like a mountain lion. With less dialogue than a nature documentary and more montages than a home renovation show, Rocky IV is both an intense battle and an 80s time capsule wrapped up in pure patriotic adrenaline. This is not just a fourth installment of a franchise looking to stay relevant one last time. Oh no! This is a macho masterpiece with world peace hanging in the balance. And it does not fail to remind us.
And what I'm trying to say is, if I can change,
я думаю, что каждый тоже изменился.
And you can change.
Вы можете измениться.
Everybody can change.
So get ready to punch the Cold War right in the heart. This is Rocky IV. Let's start with something easy.
Question number one.
What does Apollo say, quote, "the man's blank didn't come through customs," when referring to Ivan Drago? You need to fill in that blank. The man's blank didn't come through customs when referring to Ivan Drago. If you know it right now, it's worth 2 points. But for 1 point, here's your hint. What didn't come through customs? Was it A, his tongue? B, sense of humor? C, steroids and vodka? D, brain? Or is it E, his hairdresser?
Question number two.
What does Drago say to Rocky when they finally meet in the ring for the first time? Is it A, I must break you? B, you're dead? C, if you die, you die? D, you will lose? Or is it E, in Soviet Russia, Stalin rides you? These represent nearly half of all the lines he says in the whole movie. And if you know the correct one right now, it's worth 2 points. But for 1 point, here's your hint. If you remember that Drago was a puppet for the Soviet government and a product of living a life at the will of others, the answer becomes pretty clear.
Question number three.
When Apollo and Drago fight, the ring announcer introduces each fighter with their nicknames. When he introduced Apollo, it sounded like this.
In the blue corner, weighing 221 pounds, a former heavyweight champion of the world, the Dancing Destroyer, the King of Sting, the Master of Disaster, the one and only Apollo Creed.
Your question is, what nickname was removed from this clip that was a play on a title of classic literature? If you remember this colorful nickname right now, you'll score 2 points. But for 1 point, here are your multiple choice options. Was his nickname A, the Great Jabsby? B, the Puncher of Dorian Gray? C, Les Miserables? D, the Thrasher in the Rye? Or is it E, the Count of Monte Fisto?
Question number four.
The movie demonstrates how powerful Drago is by having him punch a PSI meter. The question is, how many pounds per square inch does Drago average per punch? This one is kind of nuanced, so we'll say you'll get the full 2 points if you can get the correct answer within plus or minus 100 PSI. But if you can remember this bit of trivia right now, it'll score you 2 points. Here are the 1 point multiple choice options. Was he averaging A, 2,000 PSI? B, 1850 PSI. C, 1700 PSI. D, 1550 PSI. Or is it E, 69 dudes! PSI.
And finally, question number five.
What song plays during Rocky's snowy training montage right before the big fight at the end? You have several montage songs to pick from, but which one was the montage right before the final fight montage, but was right after the first training montage, and of course, right after the flashback montage at the beginning of the movie? 2 points right now if you can name that song, but if you need a multiple choice to help you out, here they are for 1 point. Was it A, Hearts on Fire? B, Burning Heart? C, Eye of the Tiger? D, No Easy Way Out? Or is it E, Girls Just Want to Have Fun? Now that you had a little time to think about the questions, here are the answers. Question one asks you to fill in the blank on the quote from Apollo when he said, quote, the man's blank didn't come through customs when referring to Ivan Drago. This was during a heated press conference right before the fight, and here's the scene.
Drago, how does it feel to spar with the great former champion? Yeah.
The man's tongue didn't come through customs.
So that means option A, his tongue, is the correct answer. In the French dub of the film, the characters of Polly and Apollo Creed were much ruder and more disrespectful to the Russians, if you can imagine that. For example, during the Drago versus Creed press conference, Apollo says the man's tongue didn't come through customs when Drago doesn't respond to one of the questions. In the French version, he says, looks like those damn Russian pigs ate his tongue. Sacre bleu. Damn, settle down, France. Who could have thought that the French could be so rude?
I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberries.
Question two was, what does Drago say to Rocky when they finally meet in the ring for the first time? As much as I would love to have seen Drago bust out his Yakov Smirnoff impression, the correct answer is option A, once again, I must break you.
I must break you.
In 2021, Rocky IV, Rocky vs. Drago, the ultimate director's cut was released, and it replaced many scenes with 38 minutes of original footage that was cut out. If you like this movie, then you should really check out the director's cut. It becomes a different movie that adds much depth to Drago's character and also gives more insight to Apollo and Rocky's motivation to fight the Soviets. The original cut explains things away with a kind of a single line from Apollo that says something like, "We can't let the Russians come over here and make us look bad.
I don't want this chump to come over here with all that hype, you know, trying to make us look bad."
Ultimately, it's still just Apollo's desire to stay relevant, and the fight is more Apollo versus Apollo than Apollo versus Drago. Still, the director's cut gives new insight to all the characters in the movie. Well, almost all the characters. While the film inserts a new 38 minutes, that means it also took out 38 minutes, and they sure as hell wasn't going to touch any of the montages. So that left one character completely taken out of the movie. That's right. Sadly, Polly's sex robot is nowhere to be seen in the director's cut.
That's my girl.
They finally found someone that could love Polly the way that Polly wants to be loved.
She loves me.
And they cut it out of the movie. Polly didn't fall in love with the sex bot at the beginning of the movie, but with some simple reprogramming to a female voice,
"You're welcome,"
and fiddling around with some of the ports,
"It's my favorite,"
he finally found someone to look past how awful a person Polly truly is.
"You're the greatest."
But we'll never see it in the director's cut. R.I.P. sex robot.
"Don't worry. I'll clean it up for you, Polly."
In question three, I asked you what nickname was removed from the clip that was a play on a title of classic literature. The correct answer was option E, the Count of Monte Fisto. There's no real fun fact for this question other than to say that I mistakenly rented The Count of Monte Fisto once, and it was not what I was expecting.
The Count of Monte Fisto.
Hey, judges, that's two blue jokes in a row. This is a family show. Can we please try and class it up a little bit here? Thank you. We made up options A through D, but Sly Stallone came up with the best one of all on the list in The Count of Monte Fisto when he wrote that in the movie. It should come to no surprise to anyone that Sylvester Stallone wrote that great bit of dialogue. After all, he was the wordsmith that wrote the following dialogue in Rocky III.
"Nick, that doesn't make a lot. We don't go away.
Question four was, how many pounds per square inch does Drago average per punch? So what's the answer? I'll let Comrade Big Mouth reveal it.
"A normal heavyweight averages 700 pounds of pressure per square inch. As you can see, Drago averages 1,850 pounds. So the result's quite obvious."
"And what results are those?"
"Whatever he hits, he destroys."
That means option B, 1850 PSI, is the correct answer. That's a lot of PSI. But to put that in perspective, that is greater than the bite force of a lion and a grizzly bear combined. Rocky was getting hit repeatedly with the force of a hippopotamus chomp. In Rocky V, we see some of the after effects of Rocky's fight with Drago in the form of brain damage, of which is on full display just by the fact that there was indeed a Rocky V. In 1999, Time magazine placed Rocky V on the list of 100 worst ideas of the 20th century. Brutal. And finally, question 5 asked you, what song plays during Rocky's snowy training montage right before the big fight at the end? If you said option A, Hearts on Fire, then congrats, because you got it correct. If you said option E, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, then you're a crazy person. They would never play that during a training montage. Clearly, if that song was in this movie, they would save it for the end boss fight, as everyone knows. And we too would love to hear what it would sound like to have that banger played during the final fight with Drago. Hearts on Fire by John Cafferty is the high-octane anthem that plays while Rocky Balboa literally outruns a car through snow-covered Siberia because treadmills are for mortals. Cafferty is best known for fronting the Beaver Brown Band and wasn't even the first pick to sing the song. Survivor was originally considered, but apparently they had to take a break from eyeing more tigers. The song was written by Vince DiCola, Ed Frudge, and Joe Esposito. Yes, the Joe Esposito, who sang You're the Best from Karate Kid. So the song came from a pretty stacked montage musical dream team.
Cafferty's raspy voice gave the track just enough blue-collar grit to make lifting logs in the Russian wilderness seem like a reasonable fitness plan. And in case you're wondering, no, scientists still have not figured out how Rocky's beard grows that fast in between training scenes. Next, we move on to round three to have one of our listeners guest host the show to ask me some trivia questions. But before we do that, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor.
Billy's Lab will return after these messages.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to six guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you would like to try your hand in guest hosting this next segment and share your trivia knowledge of the fun things of Generation X, send the judges an email at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com and let's talk about it. Or for faster results, just go over to our website at whowillsavegenx.com and leave us a message on our answering machine. Just tap on that blue microphone icon on the lower right part of your screen and leave us a message. It's free to use, and your voice and trivia questions might be used on an upcoming episode. If you want your trivia questions on an upcoming Challenging Stage episode, then please be sure to leave us five questions so we can make a whole episode. We look forward to hearing your voice on the show. Thanks!
So who's gonna save a generation? Are you gonna save a generation? Who will save Generation X?
And now, back to Pee-wee's Playhouse! Duh!
Round three.
I'm the guy who normally asks the questions, but in this segment, we're going to turn things around and have one of our listeners ask the questions to see if I can do my part to save Generation X. Our special guest host this episode is our good friend, once again, Tyler.
All right, Zabe. In Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back, Darth Vader hires bounty hunters to find the rebels.
Bosk.
Name any two of the bounty hunters shown other than Boba Fett. Name two.
Bounty hunters. We don't need that scum.
Yes, sir.
Well, we've got Bosk. He was the lizard man, sleestack looking dude. We had Dengar, which was the guy who looked like he got in a train accident because he was wrapped up in bandages. We had, I want to say, Zuckus. And we had Forlom. And
there's one more. It's obvious. When you think of it, you'll say, oh, yeah.
IG-88, of course.
Yeah, who made an appearance in The Mandalorian.
Right. His head looks like a coffee pot.
In the original trilogy, how many lightsabers are featured?
The original trilogy?
In the original trilogy, episodes 4, 5, and 6, how many lightsabers are there? And for a bonus, who owned them? Or who do they belong to?
Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon, but a more civilized age.
Well, we had Anakin Skywalker and his bluish-whitish lightsaber, which got inherited by Luke in the first Star Wars film. We have Darth Vader's red lightsaber, and we had Obi-Wan Kenobi's lightsaber, which was also that bluish color. And then Luke constructed his own lightsaber, which was green. So that would be four lightsabers in total.
Is that your final answer?
I mean, Han briefly owned it when he cut open the Tauntaun, but I don't think you're going to get that semantic on me. So that's going to be my answers.
That is correct. There were four lightsabers featured in the original trilogy.
Nice.
We Are the World is a charity single originally recorded by the supergroup USA for Africa in 1985. With sales in excess of 20 million copies, it is the seventh best-selling physical single of all time. Along with Michael Jackson, who co-wrote the song? This is a multiple choice question.
I think I know it, but go ahead. For the listeners.
Is it A, Stevie Wonder, B, Lionel Richie, C, Bob Dylan, D, Smokey Robinson, or E, Kenny Rogers?
I'd love to hear Kenny Rogers' version of We Are the World. However, he was not a co-writer. I believe it was the L-Train himself, Lionel Richie.
That is correct.
Nice.
Sesame Street is a beloved children's television show that has been educating America's kids for decades. The show first premiered during the childhood of members of Generation X. In which year did Sesame Street premiere? Was it A, 1975, B, 73, C, 71, or D, 69?
69, dudes!
That is a fact that is escaping me. So I'm going to go with the answer of 1969.
That is correct.
Woohoo! It finally paid off. Yeah, after all these episodes.
You mentioned Sesame Street at some point in some recent show, and I thought, oh, he's got to know this.
I don't. I was taking a wild stab. I was going for comedy.
Oh, good. There we go. Well, we got it. Okay, I got another one for you. Ready?
Yeah.
In the film Back to the Future, Marty McFly travels back and forth between 1985 and 1955 in a modified 1981 DeLorean DMC-12. Marty leaves the year 1985 in the month of October. When he arrives in 1955, what month is it? This is already a multiple choice question, albeit 12 choices.
Ooh, okay, let me think about this. So it's got to be in the springtime because they're having their prom. That's usually later in the school year, right? No, it's the winter formal.
Yes, you can eliminate June, July, August, right?
right. Is it the winter under the sea dance or was it prom under the sea dance? Enchantment under the sea. That's where I'm kind of drawing a blank. But they say one of the classmates says, hey, you ever think of running for student council or student body president or something? Which makes me think it can't be at the end of the school year. And it might be in the earlier part of the school year. Because why else would you vote for student body president? So maybe I'm wrong in thinking it was prom and late in the year. Maybe it was the winter formal. I don't remember any kind of decorations for Halloween. So I think I'm going to rule out October. Boy, I'm kind of overthinking this, aren't I? Trying to think it through. Logic tells me that it would be in November if it was because it's kind of stormy too. Like,
well, you've gone through some sound thinking there.
Yeah, I feel like I have too, but it hasn't been, oh, well, clearly it's got to be this month, right? But I'm going to go with November because that's all I got. Yeah, it's in November because he sets the time circuits and I'm seeing the word NOV in it. Of course it's November.
November 5th, 1955 is correct.
Boy, that took me a long time to come around to it.
Why was November 5th, 1955 significant? Why was it in the DeLorean?
Originally, in the original script, it was a different date. It was like March 3rd. That was his father's writer's birthday. Because that was the date that he slipped and hit his head and had the vision of the flux capacitor. That's why he put
Doc Brown slipped off the toilet and hit his head on the counter.
Right. Nice.
The movie Poltergeist.
Uh-oh.
There was some bad luck surrounding the movie Poltergeist. How many of the child actors survived into adulthood?
There were three children. Carol Ann, I can't think of the actor's name, but she got an illness and passed away. I want to say maybe it was cancer, but I'm not sure. But I know she died young of an illness. And the oldest daughter, she died tragically. I think she was like stalked by an ex-boyfriend or something and was murdered, if I'm not mistaken. Like she came to a tragic end, as I recall. And I don't remember anything happened to the brother. So I'm going to just say one survived.
That is correct. The brother survives. The only one that survived into adulthood.
But he's scarred for life from the clowns. So is that really living? Are we really living if we're scared every time we see a clown?
Right.
Hey, Tyler, thanks so much for guest hosting this segment. I appreciate you, buddy. I hope you had a good time doing it.
Oh, yeah. It was a lot of fun. It's nice to be on the other end of the question asking.
Yeah. I mean, you dominate when you play this game. So I was really nervous in having you ask me the questions and how well I did. But I think I did a pretty good showing.
Yeah, you did great. I'm impressed. Some of those answers I've tried out on other people, and no one has done nearly as well as you have.
Well, thanks. And Tyler, thanks for being the guest host on The Challenging Stage. Well, that's it for this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We welcome you to contact us and let us know what you think about this episode. Your feedback is always appreciated, and thanks again for checking out the show. Thanks again to our guest host, Tyler. We always love having you on the program, buddy. As always, we welcome you to share this podcast with that special Gen Xer in your life and subscribe to the show for future episodes where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
Two. It's been a one-sided fight so far.
It'll take more than luck for Rocky to survive this round. Rocky's been hit with bombs.
They win it!
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.